How you doing? This is Sergeant Bowman. You know, I've talked quite a bit, but sometimes you can talk a lot and not say the thing you need to say. I've been talking to you about being here in Yosemite. You know, when I found out that, Yosemite is something new. It's something different. It's a national park. I didn't really know what that was until we got here. And in my mind, a national park is something so pretty you wanna put it in your pocket. You wanna take it home with you. But taking any bit of Yosemite home with you is illegal. And that's what the job was for the 9th Cavalry in Yosemite, beginning in 03, but also this year right now, 1904, to keep people from taking pieces of Yosemite away. Now, you think you can't take granite away. You think you can't take a piece of Half Dome and put it in your saddle and just ride off with it. But folks got that in their mind. And sometimes little things add up to something much bigger. Little pieces of things add up to something much greater. So you got to make certain that the whole idea of national parks, because it was an idea before it ever became something real in this world, you want to make certain the idea of national parks don't get carried off like dust gets carried off by the wind, or leaves in the fall get blown away and never come around again. So that is the job. So we had our headquarters down at Camp A.E. Wood near the South Fork of the Merced. Sounds something special, but it wasn't really. Just a bunch of tents and a few buildings here and there. That's about all there was to it. It's in that area that's pretty quiet called Wawona. And that was the headquarters. So that's where Captain Nance was. He was right there. But we had the job of going away from that camp, A.E. Wood, out into the wild, out into the mountains, out to where there weren't very many people. And when there aren't very many people around you, you feel you have the freedom to do whatever you want. And a lot of folks felt that they could still do that even after Yosemite became a national park. Because they had all these people in Mariposa County who were used to, who were accustomed to, who felt right to come into the mountains and shoot the deer. They call them mule deer around here. They shoot the deer for food. And before it was a park, they'd come up into the mountains and they'd actually cut trees down for firewood. And that's all right, because man taking care of his family is all right. Providing food for his family is all right. Cutting trees down for firewood is all right. All of those things were all right until the park was set aside October 1st, 1890. And then all of a sudden, with a stroke of a pen from President Harrison, all those things that had been right were all wrong. And it was just our luck, Troop K's luck, 9th Cavalry luck, to show up in Yosemite and have to tell all those people that what they've been brought up to believe was right was now wrong. Now, that ain't easy duty to tell someone who feels they in their rights, to tell them they all wrong. But that's the job. And what that job meant was patrolling Yosemite. Now, Yosemite is about 1,500 square miles all the way down to the South Fork of the Merced on the west side, all the way over to the east side, including Devil's Post Pile. That's something to see. But the post pile and the minarets, all of that is within Yosemite. And it goes far to the north and far to the south as well for 1,500 square miles. And we had to patrol all of that. Not the valley, not that Yosemite Valley with all that granite. That belonged to the state of California. And not where all those big trees, which ain't big enough to describe what they are. They call them giant sequoia. Now, they in that Mariposa Grove, just a few miles from our camp, Camp A.E. Wood. But we didn't have to patrol that either, because it belonged to the state of California. Yosemite National Park was everything but the Mariposa Grove and Yosemite Valley. And we had to patrol what's called the high country, that place that Mr. Muir always going on and on like a pastor before his congregation. A man sounds like he sounds like a preacher to me. But that place that he sang about, that's the best way to put it when you're talking about Mr. Muir, that place he sang about was where we were and had to protect. And it was quiet. That's the best way to describe it. You know, it's not a sound. Silence ain't a sound when you're in wilderness. Silence is something you're moving your horse quietly through. And as quiet as you move your horse, still, there's something quieter in this world. And that is what wildness actually feels like. This stillness that comes from someplace so far away, you think you'd never get there. But someplace so close, you realize it's the silence between every beat of your heart. That's what it was like. And sometimes you're with three other men or four other men, maybe five, and all you're doing is going from one isolated, remote patrol post out on that spine of granite, and you go into another patrol post, and that's maybe 15 or 20 miles away. Then you go to another post and another post, and in every single one, there's some sort of ramshackle cabin of some sort, or just a bunch of canvas between you and the night and that coldness. And inside that little tent or that cabin or whatever it is, there's a table. And on that table, there's a ledger. And in that ledger, you write down everything that happened to you on the way from that last patrol post to the one that you just found yourself. What your horse was like, what the horses were like, if one of them got injured, you know, if one of them became lame, you know, if there's a tree that had fallen over the trail, blown down by some wind last winter. Anything that you saw, anyone that you saw, you had to write it down. That man in that business suit who was riding that horse who thought he was somebody. And he thought the soldiers in front of him who were just saying, "How you doing, sir? Fine day. Good morning, sir. How are you?" That's what we are like with everyone we meet. We're courteous in our speech and in our manner because we know where we're from. We know that in Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, if you a colored man and you talking to a white man, if you are not courteous, respectful, you could find yourself in plenty of hot water. So even though we're soldiers, even though we're 9th Cavalry, we also have to know and remember who we are and where we are and the world that's around us. But that don't mean we get out of doing our job. If we run into a white man who's doing something wrong, our job is to tell him he's doing something wrong and to stop whatever it is he's doing. Now that ain't easy duty. It ain't easy for that white man who's used to looking at a colored man in a certain way, which means he's looking down on that colored man. And it's not easy for the colored soldier who's used to giving orders and having those orders listened to. So sometimes we have a little bit of explaining to do to these folks who don't quite understand the way of Yosemite. And the way of Yosemite is that there are colored soldiers here and we are the ones enforcing the rules and regulations. And our officers are white, except for that Captain Young down there in Sequoia last year. But the officers in general are white. But it don't matter. White ain't the color the people need to pay heed to. The color ain't brown either, or black. The color they need to pay heed to are the yellow of my stripes. That means I'm a sergeant, is the blue of that shirt that I'm wearing. You know, that's the color they need to see. Or if they don't quite make that out, they need to see the color of that carbine I got wrapped around my shoulders, strapped on back. That's what they need to see. And when they see that, clearly they know who's in charge and who ain't. Well, that's the job. That's the duty. And it is a difficult duty. It's a hard duty, but it's a hard job in a beautiful place. And beauty ain't the best word to describe Yosemite. I think there's not a word to describe Yosemite. If I put it this way, if you didn't know that you were in a national park, you would think you got hit on the head and you had passed over to paradise. But the horse beneath you is a reminder that maybe God will allow horses. I think so. I think God will allow horses in heaven. I'm not quite certain if God will allow a mule in the heaven. But some of the mules that I know, they could talk their way into it. They might be in heaven as well. Because you would think you've passed over entirely. in the God's country. And that's what God's country actually means. It ain't just something he made. It's where he lives. And when you up there in the high country, that's what it feels like. You expect it when you look down in some dark, deep ravine to one side and you see clouds moving beneath you. Well, you know, if you see clouds moving beneath you and you on horseback riding above those clouds, well, if you're not in heaven, if you're not somewhere up in the sky itself, then where are you? No wonder it's called the high country. And that is medicine. Being above the clouds is medicine. Feeling that wind, that cold wind blowing off a glacier, oh, that's medicine. Feeling the sky, not just above you, but around you, and seeing it actually kind of beneath you, well, that's medicine too. And that medicine, that sweetness, takes away the bitterness of some of the people we run into and the bitterness that's left in the wake of that passage. So that's what Yosemite is. That's the duty. We find someone who don't put out their campfire. We got to put out that fire. That's the duty. We find someone who's shooting a deer, and that ain't allowed in Yosemite. That's called poaching. That's the duty. What they're doing is wrong, and we are here to make certain that what happens is right. Ain't an easy job. The job is a difficult job, but that bitterness has sweetness in it. And that sweetness is called Yosemite. And you know what? You got to have a little bit of bitter and you got to have a little bit of sweet to know you alive in this world. And Yosemite got both. And it lets you know from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to sleep at night, it lets you know fully how deeply you've become part of this world. And that's something.